So many filmmakers are still trapped in the idea that to be important and to matter in the world, you have to make a 90-minute or 2-hour-long film, and you've kind of gone off this track, on this track of making shorter things for the web.
Well, the creative process is the creative process. And ironically, because I've been in these offices so long, this has happened to me a few times. So I've been in the editing room on the political piece, and I've been tearing what's left of my few hairs out. And I'm trying to take out 30 seconds to get from 4 minutes to 3.5 minutes. Years ago, same editing room, and I'm trying to take out 25 minutes to get from 2 hours to 1.5 hours. But the creative process is the creative process.
Yeah, it's probably both difficult.
Difficult. The political stuff is even harder because the responsibility is greater, and you do have multiple goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to tell an engaging story that people are going to watch, that they're going to pass around, and that makes political points in a sort of socially irresponsible fashion. When I was doing straight fiction film, even it was based on true stories, it was simpler,
mm-hmm.
frankly.
But did you look at what was happening on the web at some point and say, okay, I see that, the 3-, 4-, 5-minute videos are getting watched a lot and they're getting passed around a lot, and that's the form that I'm going to work in? And I mean, it's been a couple of years since you made your last feature-length documentary.
I think maybe I talked about this a little bit in New York, but we did have an aha moment. I was finished the film Iraq for Sale, which is about war profiteering, and we took a little piece. It was actually an ad that Halliburton had out. We hacked their ad, changed it around, mm-hmm. used it as a, telling people what to go see Iraq for, to get to Iraq for Sale. And we put it up at that point, this new thing called YouTube that a few people had heard. Well, in 3 days, there were 11,000 views. And I was staggered. I mean, I said to Jim Gilliam, who is our strategist who encouraged me, I said, if we went out and screened this movie, 11,000 is a huge audience,
mm-hmm.
and here people found it, and we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So at that point, I felt there was something. What is this, Simon Guff? Something's happening here. We don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're doing political stuff, we could do a documentary faster than anybody, but that could be 9 months, could be 8 months of working 24/7. That's too long.
Mm-hmm.
So with a 3-minute or 5-minute piece, we were shrinking the time. So both those things came together. We made a decision at that point. We were going to try to fundraise, try to do the short pieces. Fortunately, this wonderful group of funders, the Democracy Alliance, came forth, gave us the support, and we started. We had projected 2 million views our first year. We hit 11 million, and now we're at, 35 or 36 or 37 million, something.
A year of views.
No, since we started.
Okay.
Since we started.
Yeah. And were there other partnerships? I mean, the Move On partnership, when you were first getting started in kind of making these very mm-hmm. Activist documentaries, the Move On partnership, they said, we'll get together with you, we'll lend you our list, we'll give you access to our list. That seems like that was really key. Were there other partnerships that were important in terms of just building up the audience and helping let people know what you were up to? And
well, first let me say that Move On never lent me the list. And it's actually important for filmmakers in terms of building an audience.
Yeah.
The first film, Uncovered, was about the reasons that we've been given for the war. That's something that Move On was politically interested in.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd come to them with a movie about Darfur at that point, they would not have engaged their members. Well, their members wouldn't have been engaged. Therefore,
yeah.
It wouldn't have made sense
right.
to go.
So there was a good fit between your project and what they were interested
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And going forward, I would discuss the projects in advance with them before
mm-hmm.
I even started on at Fox. In fact, mm-hmm. I think it was a combination of John Podesta and Wes Boyd's idea. We were at a conference and sort of brainstorming. So it's critical because people think, in the political space, and I'm sure, this is, you make a film and then you go to the group and say, will you distribute it? Well, they're not distributors.
Yeah.
So
they didn't lend you the list, but they did promote
the
Uncovered.
Film because it was about issues that they and their members were working on politically.
So at some point, though, so your own list of people that you can email and tell about all your projects, that's all organic. You've collected all those emails through your own website and at screenings and the hard way.
It's been a big deal, and now the list is very large.
Right. And how big do you estimate the list is? A couple hundred?
A million.
A million people?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How often do you email them?
Well, we spend a great deal of time. We have a distribution department, and that's a constant source of discussion. Mm-hmm. How often do you go to them? What do you ask them to do? When do you, how long can you go quiet? When's overusing lists? When we were in the middle of the campaign, which was harrowing for people, you probably could have gone out five times a day.
Yeah, right. I think I did hear from you maybe once a week about the real McCain videos.
And we're finding our way now. We just went out yesterday. It turned out very successful, the thing attacking Burger King and Goldman Sachs, and we're at 75,000. We'll hit 100,000 in 2 or 3 days, which is very good.
And most of your funding these days is coming from kind of individual philanthropists and nonprofits like Democracy Alliance?
Well, it's
you're not relying on the sort of individual donors.
It's
that you
four
try
parts. Uh-huh. Is the small, we call the small individual donors. People give us $5, $10 a month, $100 when they see something they like. Foundations, high net worth individuals, and then groups that have similar perspectives to ours, where they will engage our online expertise to help tell the stories that they need told.
And so there still is that channel for individuals who watch the videos to say, I'm going to give $20 to Brave New Films, or is that the name of the nonprofit?
Well,
or
this foundation and films.
Okay, yeah. Brave New Foundation.
Oh, it's critical. We're at about, let's say 6,000, 7,000 people. We want to grow that to 10,000 who give us $10 a month or whatever, whatever varying amounts. But yeah, they're, each piece, every one of the four pieces is important.
Yeah. And just tell me a little bit about how you think about the audience, maybe, and how you think about the audience differently these days versus the days when you were making made-for-TV movies or, theatrical films, where it was kind of a one-way communication, right? Like, occasionally you get to go to a premiere or a film festival and, you maybe do a Q&A, but how do you think about the audience in 2009?
Well, in general, this audience versus the previous one is exactly what you say. If they're very, they have very strong opinions, they don't like what you do, you'll hear from them, and if you like what you do, they'll hear from them, and they'll give you their analysis and their description and their perspective on it, and I find that absolutely wonderful.
Is that mostly through email that you hear about that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I can't, the one thing, and my phone says it, I can't return phone calls, and I hate, but I can... can't return all the emails, but I take a fair whack at a bunch of them. So we hear from them very consistently, and as they say, they vote with their feet. They vote with their forward button. They see a video that they think has something to say, and they forward it. And all the money in the world and all the king's horses are not going to get them to do that. And in that sense, it's truly the free market. Just think about it for a minute, right? What are the chances you're going to forward a video to somebody, a friend, a relative, a colleague, if it doesn't grab you?
Well, and how none, and also just how easy it is. In the old days, you really had to, you double a VHS tape,
exactly.
And, hey, you
got
to see this movie. It was on PBS last week.
As my friend said, what you used to have to do was take the scissors, cut out the article from the newspaper,
Right. Put
it in an envelope, get the stamp, mail it.
Yeah.
Now you hit a link and you forward it.
Yeah, but you're saying you can't make people do that if they don't.
You can spend all the money content and, all these organizations and all the focus testing, they got to like it.
Yeah.
It's basically a simple, or in the political world, believe in it, think it has something to say. And maybe one of the greatest things about our audience, which I absolutely love, is they really want to learn something. When we do stuff, and not everything we've done has been good, believe me, but if we do stuff where it doesn't give them something new, it never does as well. Like this Burger King Goldman Sachs.
Yeah,
they
thought
didn't
that,
know. Yeah,
who knew that Goldman Sachs owns a big chunk of Burger King?
Exactly.
And,
and that's at every single day we learn that.
And so just to go back for a second, a million people, all of those email addresses or most of them came through your website of just someone saying, hey, I want to be on your list.
Well, it's been a long process, but it's been a couple of years now where, again, Jim Gilliam started us and Laura Beatty now has this focus. It's an important part. I mean, by the way, it's the email list, which is decreasing in importance, mm-hmm. because the younger, the audience under, I don't know, you know, my 16-year-old son never looks at his email, mm-hmm. ever.
It's all Facebook messages?
Exactly. Uh-huh. All Facebook. So we built up our Facebook list. You know, we're building up the Twittering. I've been Twittering a lot. And who knows, there's other social network devices as communications as we talk. But we got the million, you know, over the years by being aggressive about it once we figured it out. And then communicating with the list, working with the list, all those things.
Mm-hmm. And I guess just one other area I wanted to touch on just to kind of get an update, but, you know, the last time I was here, you really blew my mind when you talked about sort of some of the ways you were collaborating with people around the world. And I think at that point, it was maybe when you were making a rock for sale and you said, yeah, we have people shooting B-roll footage for us all around the country and in the world and people doing research for us. And tell me a little bit about kind of the state of collaboration today in terms of opening it up to people beyond, you know, these walls here in Culver City.
Well, it's actually good timing because we just came out of this meeting. Sorry, I was a little late. We've made a commitment to really put a lot of resources into two arms of Brave New Films. One is video activists, and the press department is sort of doing this. Well, we want to have 5,000 people around the country who can go film SEIU at a Burger King, mm-hmm. or go film someone who's losing their home, mm-hmm. and their material will come into us, and then we'll post it. We'll use it on the website. And we want to be able to hit a button by zip code, by state, know where they are, and really have them involved. And we want to have 5,000 people who are video distributors, mm-hmm. who understand they are Paramount Studios. Mm-hmm. They are CBS. They're taking our video and getting it to 100 people is hugely important. Mm-hmm. So we have them already, and we're going to build and expand and highlight those programs as really critical pieces going forward, because if we can get 5,000 in each, that's going to be a game changer for us.
And so the creators, are you going to give them any direction and say, like, hey, we're interested in what's going on with Burger King
we'll be
SEIU
very specific.
Protests?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You'll give them kind of tasks?
Right, no, because that's our job, it's not just to say go shoot what you like,
right.
but
that almost sounds like the current TV model, right?
Yeah.
Of just, you know, anything that's interesting in the world, send that in.
No, I mean, that's not what we do, and we don't have a TV. I mean, we have the studio, we don't have the outlet that way, so on our Fighting for Our Homes campaign, if you go to the website, you'll see, I don't know, there are 30, 35 videos now of people who have lost their homes, and a bunch of them, some were Skype, some were iChat, some were video cameras that they sent in to us.
Mm-hmm. How do you describe what you do these days? I mean, you still talk about yourself as a filmmaker when you're out, you know, meeting someone at a dinner party or a cocktail party?
Yeah, I say I do films with political films.
And what, I guess just as a very last thing, I mean, what's out there that, you know, or what's new that you're especially just energized by and thinking about and kind of wondering about these days? Or who do you see out there and you're like, wow, that's really an interesting, you know, that's someone kind of on an interesting trajectory?
Well, I'm very intrigued with Twitter. I have no idea where it's going to go, but I'm enjoying it. You know, there's information, there's articles, there's links, there's things, there's people who are doing things that I never would know about otherwise. You know, the problem is how much information you can get, and then I spend more time on Twitter, and then there's less time on Facebook. And I do them myself. I mean, I don't have anybody doing Facebook or, you know, Twitter. So I enjoy both of those. That's a piece of technology, and how we'll use it, I think, is up for grabs. From a storytelling point of view, I think there are opportunities we've experimented a little bit with, you know, it used to be called series, maybe now they call them webisodes, mobisodes, you know, all those things. I think there's opportunities there now that, you know, we call them campaigns. So we're doing a series of videos around Fighting for Our Homes. We'll be doing a series of videos around Enemies of Change, where we did Bank of America, Burger King. We're going to be doing a whole thing around Afghanistan. So how they play out as individual pieces, then how you put them together is going to be interesting. And the third, but I think the most important piece of change, if you will, is this little studio we started. I mean, truly, it was a barbershop. I used to go get my hair cut there. And it's 2.5 people now. Mm-hmm. And you can reach millions with it. And it can look absolutely as good as MSNBC or CNN. You can have graphics, you can have lower thirds, you can have split screens. It's mm-hmm. extraordinary.
Right. Well, that kind of brings us full circle just in terms of, you know, we started talking about, you know, shorter form content versus longer form content. I almost think, particularly when it comes to LA, I think about how every filmmaker in LA, they're on this curve that goes up, and the curve is, can I get more money to make my next project, and can it be longer? You know, the ultimate is like Peter Jackson, right? Right. We'll let you make a 7-hour movie, and you know, it's okay, we love you.
Right.
And in a way, it's so rare to see someone wanting to go the other way and say, how to make stuff cheap, how do I make it fast,
and less people,
how do I make a 2-minute video instead of a 2-hour?
In fact, we have a fellowship program here where we train people, and we train them in what we call the one-man band, where you can shoot, edit, produce, and post, which is mm-hmm. distribute.
Yeah. What do you think, I mean, the typical budget for a video that you guys put out?
You know, there's no way to really know, because how do you include the press department? Mm-hmm. Do you include the distribution department?
Right.
The video itself is nothing. It's a person and a camera, you know?
Yeah.
Then do you include the editor? Do you include
the
assistant editor? So it's hard to, you know, it depends how you analyze all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably not. I mean, even if you laid in all the overhead, I mean, we're not talking about $50,000 a video, I would guess.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've when we get hired, you know, by outside groups, that will then analyze, do you want us just to make the video? Mm-hmm. Do you want us to make the video and do an online campaign? Do you want us to make the video and reach...
I didn't realize that was even part of your business, that people could come to Brave New Films and say...
I mean, not people, but organizations that we have, that we share a vision with.
Yeah.
We collaborate, and where they may have some financing and say, we need some messaging, some storytelling done.
And what's an example of that?
ACLU, Sierra Club, SEIU.
And does that stuff show up both on the Brave New Films website and their own?
Yeah.
So you kind of help promote it to your audience.
Yes, we do both, And then, you know, we did a couple of TV series with on Link TV with the ACLU, and then it got picked up on Court TV.
Mm-hmm. Cool.